The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back, and we're watching, as you are, most of you, the debate. It's moving into its last 25 minutes. We have Dr. Patty Doyle here, who is going to spend this half hour with us, and we'll see if we can interject a comment or two. There are some things to be said right away. Hillary Clinton is cheating again. She has a lighted teleprompter in the top of her podium in the front. Look at it. Next time they take a shot from behind them, you'll see it. Look at Trump's podium. No lighted teleprompter. The same one that was there in the first debate. Watch her eyes. She continually looks down at that podium. She is reading. She is being guided and directed constantly. Donald Trump is speaking extemporaneously. He is getting no leading, nothing. And it's really despicable. Patty, welcome back. Hi.
What a slugfest. What a slugfest. But I think Donald is holding his own, Jeff. Things considered.
On the merits, he's ahead. He's winning on points.
I can't get a read on Wallace. I just can't get a read on him.
Well, he's probably the best to date in terms of moderators. Yeah. Let's go ahead and listen a little bit more here.
Let me respond to that, because that's horrifying. You know, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. The FBI conducted a year-long investigation into my emails. They concluded there was no case. He said the FBI was rigged. He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him.
Yeah, it was.
Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the
funny
federal judge.
Funny to hear her mention RICO and racketeering.
There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against
him. Should have gotten it.
This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, but it's also really troubling.
Okay.
Now, that is not the way our democracy works. We've been around for 240 years. We've had free and fair elections.
Look at her read.
We've accepted the outcomes,
Down.
But we may not have liked them.
Down.
And that
Down.
Is what must
Down.
Be expected. Anyone standing on a debate stage during a general
Watch your
election.
Eyes.
You know, President
Down.
Obama said the
Down.
Other day, when you're whining before
the game is even finished,
it just shows you're not up to doing the job. And let's be clear about what he is denigrating. He's talking down our democracy. And I, for one, am appalled that somebody who is the nominee of our two major
psychopath.
Parties would take that kind of position.
I think what the FBI did and what the Department of Justice did, including meeting with her husband, the Attorney General, in the back of an airplane on the tarmac in Arizona, I think it's disgraceful. I think it's a disgrace.
All right.
I think we've never had a situation so bad.
Hold on, folks. This doesn't do any
good
for
crime.
Anyone. Let's please continue the debate.
It's not disgraceful.
Move on to the subject of foreign hotspots. The Iraqi offensive to take back Mosul has begun. If they are successful in pushing ISIS out of that city and out of all of Iraq, the question then becomes, what happens the day after? And that's something that whoever of you ends up as president is going to have to confront. Will you put U.S. troops into that vacuum to make sure that ISIS doesn't come back or isn't replaced by something even worse? Secretary Clinton, you go first in this segment. You have 2 minutes.
We already have troops there.
There is an effort led by the Iraqi army, supported by Kurdish forces, and also given the help and advice from the number of special forces.
She's not reading the answer
on
this one, so she's stumbling.
But I will not support putting American soldiers into Iraq as an occupying force. I don't think that is in our interest, and I don't think that would be smart to do. In fact, Chris, I think that would be a big red flag waving for ISIS to reconstitute itself. The goal here is to take back Mosul. It's going to be a hard fight. I've got no illusions about that. And then continue to press into Syria to begin to take back and move on Raqqa.
No-fly zone. Shoot down the Russian Air Force.
I am hopeful the hard work that American military pay off, and that we will see a really successful military operation. But we know we've got lots of work to do. Syria will remain a hotbed of terrorism as long as the civil war, aided and abetted by the Iranians and the Russians, continue. So I have said, look, we need to keep our eye on ISIS. That's why I
now
want to
she's
have
reading.
An
Watch
intelligence
her.
Surge
down,
that protects
down,
us here at home. Why
down.
We have to go after them from the air, on the ground,
Watch those
online.
Eyes. Going right
why
down to that
make
prompter.
Sure here
down,
at home we
down.
Don't let terrorists buy weapons. If you're too dangerous to fly, you're too dangerous to buy a gun. And I'm
I
going
wish Donald would walk over there
to,
and say, why do you have
a
teleprompter?
No-fly zone and safe, no-fly zone and safe
he might have,
within
he
Syria.
He might not be able to see it
not
from
only
there.
To help protect the Syrians and prevent the constant outflow of refugees, but to frankly gain some leverage on both the Syrian government, kind of serious negotiation necessary to bring the conflict to an end and go forward on a political track.
Mr. Trump, same question. If we are able to push ISIS out of Mosul and out of Iraq, would you be willing to put U.S. troops
it's
in
not
there?
We,
to prevent
Chris. It's an
their
Iraqi war.
Or something else?
Let me tell you. But when she left, when she took everybody out, we lost Mosul. Now we're fighting again to get Mosul. The problem with Mosul and what they wanted to do is they wanted to get the leaders of ISIS who they felt were in Mosul. About 3 months ago, I started reading that they want to get the leaders, and they're going to attack Mosul. Whatever happened to the element of surprise?
Yeah.
Okay? We announced we're going after Mosul. I've been reading about going after Mosul now for about, how long is it, Hillary? 3 months? These people have all left. They've all left. The element of surprise. Douglas MacArthur, George Patton, spinning in their graves when they see the stupidity of our country. So we're now fighting. Now we're going in to get it. But you know who the big winner in Mosul is going to be after we eventually get it? And the only reason they did it is because she's running for the office of president. And they want to look tough. They want to look good. He violated the red line in the sand. And he made so many mistakes, made all mistakes. That's why we have the great migration. But she wanted to look good for the election. So they're going in. But who's going to get Mosul, really? We'll take Mosul eventually. By the way, if you look at what's happening, much tougher than they thought. Much, much tougher, much more dangerous, going to be more deaths than they thought. But the leaders that we wanted to get are all gone because they're smart. They say, what do we need this for? So Mosul is going to be a wonderful thing, and Iran should write us a letter of thank you, just like the really stupid, the stupidest deal of all time. A deal that's going to give Iran absolutely nuclear weapons. Iran should write us yet another letter saying thank you very much. Because Iran, as I said many years ago, Iran is taking over Iraq, something they've wanted to do forever, but we've made it so easy for them. So we're now going to take Mosul, and you know who's going to be the beneficiary? Iran. Boy, are they making... I mean, they are outsmarting... look, you're not there. You might be involved in that decision, but you were there when you took everybody out of Mosul and out of Iraq. You shouldn't have been in Iraq, but you did vote for it. You shouldn't have been in Iraq, but once you were in Iraq, you should have never left the way. The point is, the big winner is going to be Iran.
Well, you know, once again, Donald is implying that he didn't support the invasion of Iraq. I said it was a mistake. I've said that years ago. He has consistently denied what is
wrong.
A very clear fact that
wrong.
Before the invasion, he supported it. And, you know, I just want everybody to go Google it. Google Donald Trump Iraq, and you will see the dozens of sources which verify that he was for the invasion of Iraq.
Wrong.
And you can actually hear the audio of him saying that. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters because he has not told the truth about that position. I guess he believes it makes him look better now to contrast with me because I did vote for it. But what's really important here is to understand all the interplay. Mosul is a Sunni city. Mosul is on the border of Syria. And yes, we do need to go after Baghdadi, and just like we went after bin Laden while you were doing Celebrity Apprentice, and we brought him to justice. We need to go after the leadership, but we need to get rid of them, get rid of their fighters. They're estimated several thousand fighters in Mosul. They've been digging underground. They've been prepared to defend. It's going to be tough fighting, but I think we can take back Mosul, and then we can move on into Syria and take back Raqqa. This is what we have to do. I'm just amazed that he seems to think that the Iraqi government and our allies and everybody else launched the attack on Mosul to help me in this election, but that's how Donald thinks, you know. He always is looking for some
Chris,
conspiracy.
We don't gain anything.
He has all the
Iran is taking over Iraq.
Secretary Clinton.
Iran is taking over Iraq. We don't gain
Secretary Clinton.
We would have gained if they did it by surprise.
Wait. Secretary Clinton, it's an open discussion.
We would have gained
now,
if they did it by
Secretary,
surprise.
Please let Mr. Trump speak.
It's unfit, and he proves it every time.
You are the one that's unfit. You know, WikiLeaks just actually came out. John Podesta said some horrible things about you, and boy, was he right. He said some beauties. And you know, Bernie Sanders, he said you have bad judgment. You do. And if you think that going into Mosul, after we let the world know we're going in, and all of the people that we really wanted, the leaders, they're all gone, if you think that was good, then you do. Now, John Podesta said you have terrible instincts. Bernie Sanders said you have bad judgment. I agree with both.
Well, you should ask Bernie Sanders who he's supporting for president, and he has said, campaigned for me around the country, you are the most dangerous person to run for president in the modern history of America. I think he's right.
She's describing herself.
Turn to Aleppo. Yeah. Mr. Trump, in the last debate, you were both asked about the situation in the Syrian city of Aleppo, and I want to follow up on that because you said several things in that debate which were not true, sir. You said that Aleppo has basically fallen. In fact, there are...
It's a catastrophe.
There are a quarter...
Have you seen it?
Sir?
Have you seen what's happened to Aleppo?
If I might finish my question.
Okay, so it hasn't fallen. Take a look at it.
Well, there are 250,000 people still living there and being slaughtered.
That's right.
And
they are being slaughtered.
Yes.
Because of bad decisions.
If I may just finish here. And you also said that ISIS, that Syria and Russia are busy fighting ISIS. In fact, they have been the ones who've been bombing and shelling eastern Aleppo, and they just announced a humanitarian pause, in effect admitting that they have been bombing and shelling Aleppo.
That's where the enemy is. You got
Aleppo
no choice.
It's a disaster. It's a humanitarian nightmare, but it has fallen from the from any standpoint.
He's totally correct.
Take a look at Aleppo. It is so sad when you see what's happened. And a lot of this is because of Hillary Clinton, because what's happened is by fighting Assad, who turned out to be a lot tougher than she thought, and now she's going to say, oh, he loves Assad. He's just much tougher and much smarter than her and Obama. And everyone thought he was gone 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He aligned with Russia. He now also aligned with Iran, who we made very powerful. We gave them $150 billion back. We give them $1.7 billion in cash. I mean cash, bundles of cash as big as this stage. We gave them $1.7 billion. Now, they have aligned. He has aligned with Russia and with Iran. They don't want ISIS, but they have other things because we're backing rebels. We don't know who the rebels are. We're giving them lots of money, lots of everything. We don't know who the rebels are. And when and if, and it's not going to happen because you have Russia and you have Iran now, but if they ever did overthrow Assad, you might end up with as bad as Assad is, and he's a bad guy. But you may very well end up with worse than Assad. If she did nothing, we'd be in much better shape. And this is what's caused the Great Migration, where she's taken in tens of thousands of Syrian refugees who probably, in many cases, not probably, who are definitely, in many cases, ISIS-aligned. And we now have them in our country. And wait till you see, this is going to be the great Trojan horse. And wait till you see what happens in the coming years. Lots of luck, Hillary. Thanks a lot for doing a great job.
Secretary Clinton, you have talked about, and in the last debate and again today, that you would impose a no-fly zone to try to protect
the people of Aleppo here.
And to stop the
this
killing there.
This is crucial.
President Obama has refused to do that because he fears it's going to draw us closer or deeper into the conflict. And General Joseph Dunford,
it's called World War III.
Joint Chiefs of Staff, says, you impose a no-fly zone, chances are you're going to get into a war, his words, with Syria and Russia. So the question I have is, if you impose a no-fly zone, first of all, how do you respond to their concerns? Secondly, if you impose a no-fly zone and a Russian plane violates that, does President Clinton shoot that plane down?
Well, Chris, first of all,
she won't answer
it. I think a no-fly zone could save lives and could hasten the end of the conflict. I am well aware of the really legitimate
concerns
that you have expressed from both the president and the general. This would not be done just on the first day. This would take a lot of negotiation. It would also take making it clear to the Russians and the Syrians that our purpose here was to provide safe zones on the ground. We've had millions of people leave Syria, and those millions of people inside Syria who've been dislocated. So I think we could strike a deal and make it very clear to the Russians and the Syrians that this was something that we believe was in the best interests of the people on the ground in Syria. It would help us with our fight against ISIS. But I want to respond to what Donald said about refugees. He's made these claims repeatedly. I am not going to let anyone into this country who is not vetted, who we do not have confidence in, but I am not going to slam the door on women and children. That picture of that little four-year-old boy
in Aleppo
with the blood coming down his face while he sat in an ambulance is haunting.
They're wrong men.
We are going to do very careful, thorough vetting. That does not solve our internal challenges.
She dodged
with
the
ISIS
entire question about Putin making it clear.
To work with American Muslim communities who are on the front lines to identify and prevent attacks. In fact, the killer of the dozens of people at the nightclub in Orlando, the Pulse nightclub, was born in Queens, the same place Donald was born. So let's be clear about what the threat is and how we are best going to be able to meet it. And yes, that threat emanates from over in Syria and Iraq, and we've got to keep fighting, and I will defeat ISIS. And some of it is we have to up our game and be much
smarter. Well, maybe you better stop supporting it financially.
But I just have to, ridiculous what you, she will defeat ISIS. We should have never let ISIS happen in the first place. And right now they're in 32 countries.
Okay.
You should have never. Wait one second. They had a ceasefire 3 weeks ago. A ceasefire, United States, Russia, Syria. And during the ceasefire, Russia took over vast swatches of land. And then they said, we don't want the ceasefire anymore. We are so outplayed on missiles, on ceasefires. They are outplayed. Now, she wasn't there. I assume she had nothing to do with it. But our country is so outplayed by Putin and Assad and, by the way, and by Iran. Nobody can believe how stupid our leadership is.
Mr. Trump, Secretary Clinton, no, we need to move on to our final segment, and that is the national debt, which has not been discussed until tonight. Our national debt as a share of the economy, our GDP, is now 77%. That's the highest since just after World War II. But the nonpartisan committee for a responsible federal budget says, Secretary Clinton, under your plan, debt would rise to 86% of GDP over the next 10 years. Mr. Trump, under your plan, they say it would rise to 105% of GDP over the next 10 years. Question is, why are both of you ignoring this problem? Mr. Trump, you go first.
Well, I say they're wrong because I'm going to create tremendous jobs. And we're bringing GDP from really 1%, which is what it is now. And if he got in, it'll be less than zero. But we're bringing it from 1% up to 4%. And I actually think we can go higher than 4%. I think you can go to 5 or 6%. And if we do, you don't have to bother asking your question because we have a tremendous machine. We will have created a tremendous economic gene to get. To do that, we're taking back jobs. We're not going to let our companies be rid of other countries where we lose all our jobs. We don't make our product anymore. It's very sad. But I'm going to create the kind of a country that we were from the standpoint of industry. We used to be there. We've given it up. We've become very, very sloppy. We've had people that are political hacks making the biggest deals in the world, bigger than companies. You take these big companies, these trade deals are far bigger than these companies. And yet we don't use our great leaders, many of whom back me and many of whom back Hillary, I must say. But we don't use those people. Those are the people, these are the greatest negotiators in the world. We have the greatest business people in the world. We have to use them to negotiate our trade deals. We use political hacks. We use people that get the position because they made a campaign contribution. And they're dealing with China and people that are very much smarter than they are. So we have to use our great people. But with that being said, we will create an economic machine which we haven't seen in many decades. And people, Chris, will again go back to work and they'll make a lot of money and we'll have companies that will grow and expand and start from new.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, first, when I hear Donald talk like that and know that his slogan is Make America Great Again, I wonder when he thought America was great. And before he rushes and says, you know, before you and President Obama were there, I think it's important to recognize that he has been criticizing our government for decades.
She's not answering the question. There's another attack on
Trump. He took out a $100,000
ad. Hey, this has nothing to do with the question. Nothing.
During the time when President Reagan was president, and basically said exactly what he just said now, that we were the laughing stock of the world. He was criticizing President Reagan. This is the way Donald thinks about himself, puts himself to, you know, the middle and says, you know, I alone can fix it, as he said on the convention stage. But if you look at that, which is the issue you asked about, Chris, I pay for everything I'm proposing. I do not add anything to the national debt. I take that very seriously because I do think it's one of the issues.
She had a private service.
So
she has her own private
money presses. When I talk about how we're going to pay for education, how we're going to invest in infrastructure, how we're going
to
get
money.
The cost of prescription drugs down, and a lot of the other
taxes,
issues that people talk to me about all the time, I've made it very clear. We are going
the
where the money is. We are
yeah, across the board. And she says no middle class taxes? No.
Fair share.
That's, she's talking about income tax, not about bonds, not about property tax.
In
nothing
fact,
like
I
that.
Think just
it's
the opposite.
Right on
we'll have what economists
tax.
Call
yeah.
middle-out
sure,
growth.
Well.
We've got to
yep.
get back to rebuilding the middle class,
all right,
the
let's
families
see what happens
of
here.
America. That's where growth will come from. That's why I want to invest in you. I want to invest in your family. And I
that's
think
where
that's
growth
the
will
smartest
come from?
Way to grow the economy, to make the economy
I don't think
fairer.
So, Lori.
And we just have a big disagreement about this. It may be because of our experiences. You know, he started off with his... Dad is a millionaire. I started off with my dad as a small businessman.
We've heard this before.
I think it's, you know, it's a difference that affects how we see the world and what we want to do with the economy.
Time.
Thank you, Hillary. Could I just respond?
Well, no.
Because I did disagree with Ronald Reagan very strongly on trade. I disagreed with him. We should have been much tougher on trade even then. I've been waiting for years. Nobody does it right. And frankly, now we're going to do it right.
All right. The one last area I want to get into with you in this debate is the fact that the biggest driver of our debt...
You know, that smug smile that we've all seen too often. People don't like that, the arrogance, the dismissive arrogance that she uses.
Neither of you has a serious plan that is going to solve the fact that Medicare is going to run out of money in the 2020s, Social Security is going to run out of money in the 2030s, and at that time, recipients are going
to
take huge cuts in their benefits. So,
no, we have to take care of those illegals,
Patty.
The final question
I want to ask you in this regard is...
Housing, cars, school, food,
would President Trump make a deal to save Medicare and Social Security that included both tax increases and benefit cuts, in effect, a grand bargain on entitlements?
I'm cutting taxes. We're going to grow the
economy. See, his podium, there's no light on it. I don't know if you've noticed or not.
It's going to totally help you. And one thing we have to do, repeal and replace the disaster known as Obamacare. It's destroying our country. It's destroying our businesses, our small businesses, and our big businesses. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare. You take a look at the kind of numbers that will cost us in the year 17. It is a disaster if we don't repeal and replace. Now, it's probably going to die of its own weight, but Obamacare has to go. The premiums are going up 60, 70, 80%. Next year, they're going to go up over 100%. And I'm really glad that the premiums have started. At least the people see what's happening, because she wants to keep Obamacare and she wants to make it even worse. And it can't get any worse. Bad health care at the most expensive price. We have to repeal and replace Obamacare.
And Secretary Clinton, same question, because at this point, Social Security and Medicare are going to run out. The trust funds are going to run out of money. Will you, as president, consider a grand bargain, a deal that includes both tax increases and benefit cuts to try to save both programs?
Well, Chris, I am on record as saying that we need to put more money into the Social Security Trust Fund. That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll...
She'll destroy the part of the... She'll destroy the engine of growth in the country.
Out of it. Yeah.
The wealthy have always led the way with businesses, employment.
Trust fund,
oh, he's good. Good job.
That we have sufficient... resources, and that
security,
will come
that
from
drug addicts
either raising the cap
security.
And or finding other ways to get more money into it.
Like
I will not
right.
cut benefits.
All right.
I want
Hold on.
To enhance benefits for low-income workers and for women who have been disadvantaged
She's a
by
socialist.
The current Social Security
Why don't you
system.
Just say it, Hillary.
But what Donald is proposing with these massive tax cuts will result in a $20 trillion additional national debt. That will have dire consequences for Social Security and Medicare. And I'll say something about the Affordable Care Act, which he wants to repeal. The Affordable Care Act extended the solvency of the Medicare Trust Fund. So if he repeals it, our Medicare problem gets worse. What we need to do is go after the long-term health care drivers. We've got to get costs down, increase value, emphasize wellness. I have a plan for doing that, and I think that we will be able to get entitlement spending under control with more resources and smarter decisions.
This is the final time, probably to both of your delight, that you're going to be on stage together in this campaign. I would like to end it on a positive note. You had not agreed to closing statements, but it seems to me in a funny way that might make it more interesting because you haven't prepared closing statements.
Oh, yes,
so I'd
they
like
have.
You each to take it. We're going to put a clock up a minute.
Of course she has.
As the final question in the final debate to tell the American people why they should elect you to be the next president. This is another new mini-segment. Secretary Clinton, it's your turn to go first.
Here's the recorded message.
I would like to say to everyone watching tonight that I'm reaching out to all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, because we need everybody to help make our country what it should be, to grow the economy,
to memorize
statement, to make it work for everyone. We need your talents, your skills, your commitment, your energy, your ambition. You know, I've been privileged to see the presidency up close, and I know the awesome responsibility of protecting our country and the incredible opportunity of working to try to make life better for all of you. I have made the cause of children and families really my life's
work.
There
she is again.
That's what my mission will be
it's all
in
about
the presidency.
Children and
I will
families.
Stand up
children
for families against powerful interests, against corporations. I will do everything that I can to make sure that you have good jobs with rising incomes, that your kids have good educations from preschool
Hillary,
to
Hillary, how are you going to create
I hope
the jobs?
You give me a chance to serve.
She has
as your
never
president.
Answered that.
No. Secretary Clinton, thank you. Mr. Trump.
She's raising the money from the people she wants to control. Doesn't work that way.
There
when
it
I
is.
Started this campaign, I started it very strongly. It's called Make America Great Again. We're going to make America great. We have a depleted military. It has to be helped, has to be fixed. Yep. We have the greatest people on earth in our military. We don't take care of our veterans. We take care of illegal immigrants, people that come into the country illegally, better than we take care of our vets.
That's right.
That can't happen. Our policemen and women are disrespected.
That's
we
right.
need law and order, but we need justice too. Our inner cities are a disaster. You get shot walking to the store. They have no education. They have no jobs. I will do more for African Americans and Latinos than she can ever do in 10 lifetimes. All she's done is talk to the African Americans and to the Latinos. But they get the vote, and then they come back. They say, we'll see you in 4 years. We are going to make America strong again, and we are going to make America great again, and it has to start now. We cannot take 4 more years of Barack Obama, and that's what you get when you get her.
Thank you both.
Very good.
Secretary Clinton, hold on just a moment, folks. Secretary Clinton, Mr. Trump, I want to thank you both for participating in all 3 of these debates. That brings to an end this year's debate sponsored by the Commission on Presidential Debates. We want to thank the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and its students for having...
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So your thoughts, Patty?
Well, my thoughts are this is our last chance. This election has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. It has to do, are you a globalist or are you a nationalist? And Jeff, tomorrow night we're going to speak about Germany and what's going on there. The black Africans from Somalia, Eritrea, and Sudan have taken over a Bavarian city. And they are just, the mayor of the town, it's a picturesque town, big ski resort town, and they put the these illegals into the white communities like they're doing
oh,
here.
Oh, there's Dr. Frankenstein. He just
yep.
walked right past Donald Trump to get near Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
the big black guy. He's right there.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
right behind her. Look now. Do you see?
Yeah, I see.
He's right there.
Yeah.
They are really concerned that she might have a mini.
Yeah.
They,
I wish she would.
They
everybody.
Pumped her up with so many chemicals. That's
yeah.
That guy went right after her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt,
yeah.
but that was it.
Well,
I'm watching to see if her podium is going to be tended to like it was last time. They took the electronics out of
yeah.
the under shelf and the top part.
She's
the light
a cheat. We know she's a fraud. We know she's a cheat. But believe me, Jeff, if we don't vote for Trump, we are going to have what they're having in Paris, where they're going in North. You remember those streets in North Paris that
yeah.
were loaded? Well, those people, what happened in Germany and what happens in Paris is that they kind of riot amongst themselves
right.
to pick a warlord. And then now with the warlord pick, they're going up into the homes and they're actually booting people out of their homes and taking over. They've taken over the German town. It's in the hands of the black Africans and they've taken over North Paris.
They have, do they not have weapons supposedly,
yeah,
the blacks?
Guns. Yeah, mm-hmm. guns. And in Germany, this will get you. They have taken over the best Wi-Fi spots in town.
Uh-huh.
They got computers. Who do you think these people are? And they're well vetted. Syrian families? Are they kidding? Is she kidding tonight?
Yeah, it's amazing.
They're not Syrian families
yeah.
with children.
Of course not. No, they keep saying Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
The majority of them are not Syrian refugees.
They're Africans.
Africans.
And they have no women with them. They're
no.
raping the women in the towns they took over. Well, as you know, this weekend I was busy. I got my booby traps
yeah,
all ready
yeah.
to go.
Yeah, good. All right. Professor James Fetzer, are you there?
I am, Jeff. I am indeed.
Hi, Jim. Patty is here, too. She's going to be saying goodbye in just a minute, but we watched the last half hour here together. Patty, a final comment from you?
This is it. This is our last chance, and I will hang up and listen to Dr. Fetzer. I'm very interested in his opinion.
Thank you, Patty. Thanks for being here.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Good night.
Well, Jim, let me just repeat what I've been saying. First of all, she had the same damned lighted teleprompter on the top of her podium that she did the first debate. Trump did not. It was as clear as day. I'm asking my video editor to pull out the shots from the rear of the two of them on the teleprompter so you can see the light on hers. And if you watched her face, her eyes went down over and over and over and over to that teleprompter. She was being led much of the time. One question, the second to last question, she didn't have the prompter, and she had to wing it, and it was her least effective answer. A typical Clinton crime family cheating. Your thoughts?
Well, what's fascinating about that, Jeff, and I do agree that from the beginning it was clear that she was primed. She had such a perfectly articulated answer, and it was fortuitous for her that the opening question had to do with the Supreme Court, where she could appeal to preserving Roe v. Wade and women's rights, I happen to agree completely. On the other hand, Donald, I thought, was excellent about the Second Amendment. What's fascinating about your observation is that the next to last was foreign hotspots. That's such an extraordinarily important issue, and I thought Donald was really clearly superior to Hillary in an area where one would have heretofore presumed she would dominate him.
Right.
She kept talking about the no-fly zone, and I was so grateful to Chris Wallace for bringing up that the chairman of the Joint Chief had asserted about 2 weeks ago now that imposing a no-fly zone in Syria would mean war with Syria and Russia. Chris Wallace made it sound more tentative, probably, possibly, but actually the chairman said it would mean war, which no doubt it would have. And Hillary persisted in affirming her no-fly zone. I think the appreciation of what went on here was very much a function of how much you knew in the background about Hillary and her deceit and deception and her ghastly history in relation to her service as a Secretary of State. But I thought it was also a very good thing that Donald got the final minute. I thought that was one of his high spots, and it was very good coming at the end.
Right. He also, in saying no, no, and making comments, made it quite clear that he's not going to be pushed around. He will not stand on formality to the distraction of the issues. He's a man who really believes firmly in what he says, and he's here to back that up all the way. I thought he was outstanding. I thought he was very presidential. I thought his remarks about Hillary were spot on. There was nothing exaggerated at all. What has she done? What has she accomplished in 30 years? The only answer she could manifest was 20 years I was doing this and you were doing something trivial. 10 years ago I was doing this and you were doing something even less trivial or more trivial. It just goes on and on. We have this absolute downpour, this deluge of WikiLeaks damning to hell information about her, her campaign. This new documentary, the O'Keefe, James O'Keefe documentary, caused two of their heavy hitter thugs, their political operatives, to be fired and quit today.
Yes.
That's a very big deal. And this has to continue to be pushed. The mainstream media is not covering WikiLeaks. No surprise. We knew this. We knew that. So we have... go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that. I mean, the whole thing, the whole media domination is a CIA operation. I have no doubt about it. In fact, Wayne Manson has also reported that, you know, the Russians have nothing to do with this interference, the so-called hacking. In fact, Julian Assange has a huge network of hackers. They don't need Russia. It would be a stupid thing for Russia to do. But look how cleverly Hillary's handlers are trying to manipulate this so that all the devastating indictments of Hillary, all the real direct evidence that impugns her and John Podesta and their operation in dozens of different ways are incredibly corrupt, is supposed to be the devious product of Russians trying to interfere with our election. In fact, Manson says that what's actually going on is the CIA has been conducting unprecedented interference for the presidency and Congress, and where that includes, Jeff, it appears some factions that are very unhappy with Hillary over Benghazi and a host of other issues who actually have been instrumental in getting many of these out to the public as well. I do think Julian Assange is a complete hero. And Kerry appears to have put down tremendous pressure on Ecuador in order to cut off his internet.
He threatened him, of course. Yeah.
We haven't seen Assange for several days. For all we know, he could be dead.
Jim, let me say this. All Julian Assange, who is well aware of the controversy about his well-being, has to do is go to the window and wave for 5 minutes. That's it.
Yeah, sure. But he may be unable to wave, of course. I mean, that may be
That's right.
But it's clear that there's been desperation on the Democratic side over the WikiLeaks revelation. They recognize they're harming Hillary tremendously. So that I was, quite struck by her giving us the song and dance about Russia being involved in attempting to affect our elections, because the Russians aren't doing that, would have no interest in doing it. The stakes would be so high, but they got to fabricate it just to give some plausible reason.
That was
it's shameless, but that's the nature of these people.
That was Cold War hysteria 2.0. It was ridiculous. The idea that Russia is actually involved, and the idea that our intelligence agencies don't lie. Look at the FBI. Did the FBI lie? My God, they all lie. And lying is the way of doing commerce now, it seems, in political issues, and international relations certainly suffer as much as any. We have, 2 weeks left now? I think the issues are clear. Donald Trump is the candidate of peace. Hillary Clinton is the candidate of war. And there's no more defining moment than when she talks about no-fly zone in Syria. Vladimir Putin has made it very clear that that will not be tolerated. She has also said, as you well know, and many of you listening know, she will shoot down the Russian Air Force. That was a question directly asked by Chris Wallace. She directly didn't answer it.
Yeah, I thought one of the very interesting parts, too, were about the fitness to be president issue,
right,
where the Donald implied he didn't quite get it out there, but actually we now have revelations that this was a DNC plan in May, that they ran a Craigslist ad to get women who would talk about having been groped and kissed unwantedly by Donald. He exaggerates, of course, which is a mistake, by suggesting he's never done any of these things, when by his own admission in his conversation with Billy Bush, no one would believe that. On the other hand, he could have been more emphatic. He had pointed toward the role of this DNC group in inciting violence, to which you allude, because two ops for the DNC have now been booted out because they were exposed. He was correct that they even claimed credit for shutting down his Chicago rally,
right,
which had to be aborted. And of course, that's so disgusting, Jeff, that anyone who really begins to understand the depth of depravity, the total dishonesty and corruption of Hillary Clinton, has to ask themselves whether or not this is indeed the kind of person they would want to be president of the United States. Because for all of the Donald's warts, and he has quite a few, he seems to me to be fundamentally an honest man who is dedicated to the United States, who would put America first. And he made many telling points, not every one of which I agreed with, because I personally think the Iran deal was actually a very appropriate thing, since Iran actually was not pursuing nuclear weapons. We ought to be punishing them for the pursuit of weapons they weren't pursuing. But on the other hand, in the popular mind, I think most Americans would probably agree with Donald. I think that therefore is a mixed effect, because it's not his case is to me flawed. On the other hand, so much he said about Syria and the Middle East was absolutely spot on. About Aleppo and everything else, I thought many, many times he made very powerful arguments and scored a lot of points against Hillary. But she was talking about gun control, by the way. That figure of 33,000 died from guns, 22,000 of them, as I recall, actually for suicide. So she's inflating the figure to make it 33,000. And when she talked about that little boy in Aleppo sitting in the chair with the blood on his
face,
that was such a staged photograph, Jeff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they do so many of these things just so they can be cited on an occasion like this.
Well, the Pentagon has admitted to spending over $500 million creating false digital video of alleged terrorist activities. It's wag the dog. What is real and what isn't real? I mean, that's...
I do, I do believe he made a lot of powerful points about NAFTA and how it's gutted our industrial and manufacturing base. It was brought to us by her husband, Bill Clinton.
Right.
She supported it 100% at the time. And her TPP thing here today was very, very suspicious. Chris Wallace should have jumped on her about her difference between having private and public positions, because this is such a clear example.
Right.
She said, you know, she's no longer for it. She wouldn't be for it. And she deposed it as president. I don't believe a word of that. And she picked a running mate who's 100% for the TPP and in the pocket of Wall Street.
That's right.
Now, you know, if she actually were opposed, that she would never have picked Tim Kaine to be a running mate. But I'm fascinated, by the way, Jeff. I didn't see Dr. Frankenstein come out there at the end. The big
black guy.
Oh,
he came right out real quick.
That's fascinating that that happened.
He walked with tremendous speed right across the stage from right to left as we look at it. She had moved off to the left and then down off the riser, off the stage itself. He went right. He was standing right behind her the last time I saw her, right there. So,
and of course, we have no questions have ever been asked during the whole debate about any of the debates about her health.
No,
which in my opinion is a monster issue. I mean, she appears to be suffering from this thing called Lewy body protein disease, which has all kinds of devastating effects.
For right now, we probably should stick with Dr. Noel, who has been so articulate about Parkinson's.
Yes,
she may have multiple issues. We don't know. I think, once again, they have pharmacologically pumped her up, as Donald said earlier. No question about it. That regal, arrogant, dismissive, deceitful smirk that she has, it's not endearing. It's a very negative thing, treating Trump as if he's dirt under her royal feet.
You mentioned, of course, that her husband... as opposed to the Obamacare that she was defending, it would have been more effective if he'd actually quoted Bill Clinton, who said, "This is crazy. We're paying twice as much for half as much coverage." That would have nailed it so hard.
Well, he needs to bring that out in the campaign and put it out for what he can. By the way, I just got a note from Thomas down in Miami. He's right close to the Trump operation. Trump missed a good chance to say Hillary kept 94.3% of all the money donated to Haiti via the Clinton Foundation after the earthquake. It's on her IRS returns. 94.3%.
Yeah, that would have been sensational. That would have been a real killer.
Yeah. Yep. So these things need to be brought out. I've heard something else that 7 or 8% of the undecideds have made up their mind and they've moved to Trump. It was much more. I think 3% had moved toward Hillary, 7 or 8 for Trump. That's another indicator that needs to be watched, however many undecideds there are.
Well, they spent so much time on this very superficial issue about his relationship with women, because they're going for women. They know if they can convert women to be opposed to Donald and make him unacceptable on any grounds, that they can cinch the election. But I think there's enough here to suggest that, in fact, these claims are a mix, that a lot of them appear to be fabricated, and that whatever Donald's shortcomings in relation to his attitude or behavior toward women, that the Clintons have been overwhelmingly more offensive. They've been much more serious. I mean, Donald Trump has never been accused of rape, whereas Bill Clinton has repeatedly. Hillary, I thought he was very good in talking about Hillary, defending countries where gays are thrown out of...
Talk about hypocrisy. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Tell me more of your response. I'm very, very interested, Jeff.
The teleprompter was the key. I was at one point counting the number of times her eyes went down to it to read, and it was
at least 100 times, I would say.
Oh, a couple hundred, and
she
kept going and going. She's a teleprompter pro, as they almost all are. Donald has had to learn the teleprompter in the last 4 or 5 months, and he's mastered it very well. She was reading. She had a team. They were super speed typists. They're able to put up words, phrases, and they trigger in her mind her little pre-recorded messages, which is what
I just can't believe, though, that the Republicans and the Trump campaign hasn't been all over this. You know, they, when it happened in the first debate, which was so egregious, where Lester Holt had even said over the questions a week in advance where he was taking signals from her when she rubbed her nose, and then attacking Trump and throwing it to her without giving her new questions so she could deliver a stinger. And then when the cleanup guy got all the notes and gave them back to Lester Holt, my God, Jeff, how can you be any more blatant than that?
Well, apparently, and after I stopped watching it, those who were able to watch the feed, someone again went up to her teleprompter, took a piece of equipment from the lower shelf under the top out of it, and packed it away.
You're talking about tonight?
Yep. There are people listening and others who will get this, and they were watching very carefully. Yeah, the teleprompter was there, no question about it. After the event ended, somebody went to the podium, took out a piece of electronic equipment that was underneath the top shelf, probably the receiver that was putting the information that was put on the screen. It's the same screen. It's like a V if you look at it sideways, and the front half of the V is, in fact, the teleprompter screen. I'm not sure Donald could see it from where he was. I wish he had gone over there and asked her if he had seen it.
It's all not just embarrassing. It's an insult to the American people, Jeff. I'm glad you pay such close attention, because I think your insights are extremely valuable. And
well, thanks, Jim. Same to you. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you real soon. Lots ahead. Let's watch for the YouTube folks and see how they handled this. There were lots of things to pick up on. We'll watch. Thank you very much, Jim.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Okay, good night. All right, that's hour number one and the end of the so-called debate that wasn't a debate at all. It was really disgusting. The attacks, constant attacks on Trump in lieu of substantive, meaningful answers. What are you going to do? That's the nature of the Clinton crime family. We will be back with D.V. Kidd in just a few minutes.